Matthew chapter 5, there in the first book of the New Testament. You may have already read this portion of Scripture, being the beginning part of our year here. We are reading through one book each week. Last week was Genesis. This past week is Matthew. And certainly hope you were able to get into the Word, if not Matthew, some other book or portion of Scripture. But I hope you were encouraged by the things that you read and how the Lord used them in your heart this week. And I'm going to bring out a truth that you probably read in chapter 5 that I want to draw your attention to. Notice chapter 5 and verse number 38. This has often been referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. It is a message that Jesus is preaching, and specifically to His disciples, but really all those that were near to Him that were hearing it. Future disciples were hearing this message, and its core context, of course, is going to be life in the kingdom, but with the understanding that there is application to each of these truths for us to be living today in the church age. We have a responsibility to be the salt of the earth. And the Lord tells us how to do that, really. And He gives a lot of practical ways through His sermon. And I'm only going to hit one small portion this morning. But let's look there in verse number 38. The Bible says, the Lord speaking, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain," or two. "Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away." Let's pause right there. That'll be our passage for this morning. And with God's help, I want to preach a message to you entitled, "Christians Don't Get Even." Christians don't get even. They get ahead with the love of God. They get ahead with the love of God. Let's pray. Lord, I'm so thankful for this fine group of folks that have gathered here this Sunday morning. Oh Lord, we confess to You, we have failed You this past week. We have fallen short in so many ways. But You've been faithful. You've been gracious and forgiving. You have guided us, and You've allowed us to see another day here on this earth. And You have a plan for us. I thank You for the hope You give us daily. And I pray this morning that You would speak to each of us in Your own personal way. Lord, You know what we're all going through right now. You know every single detail about our lives. So, Holy Spirit, would You just flow through me? I just want to be a messenger boy this morning that'll proclaim the Word. But I want to be a clean one and, Lord, an empty one so that You can fill and use. I pray for my brothers and sisters here that they would be encouraged. I pray for my friend here that's lost, still without Christ. Oh, God, their soul is yet to be redeemed. And, Lord, without divine intervention and Your grace, Lord, they will perish, oh God, into a Christless eternity. I pray for them that they would turn to You and respond to Your love and be saved from their sin. Oh God, only You can do that. So thank You again for what You're going to do today as we trust You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Do you know it's the human nature that when somebody does something wrong to us, It's to get back at them. Y'all are looking like angels out there right now. Not me. Of course you and me. When someone does something offensive, insulting, the natural inclination is to get back. And not only get back, but get them better. Dig it in a little bit. I'll get one over on you. I'll get louder. I can get stronger. I can do this. It's a sinful desire, really, that we often will face that, and it's called this. The word for it is retaliation. Retaliation. Retaliate. That's the tendency for us to do, and Jesus is going to deal with that subject. Because he's going to tell us as God's people that we should not retaliate. We should respond. And there's a difference. And I do believe that he is at the core of his teaching here as he's dealing with his disciples. But yes, they're coming from a context of where the law has been emphasized. The law has, they've learned it from growing up as children and all the things, the strict aspect of the law and the crossing the T's and dotting the I's and everything that goes with that. And that wasn't a bad thing, but what was happening, especially among many of the Pharisees, when it came to the law was being obeyed, but there was something very important missing that Jesus was showing that he even came to fulfill the law. It was his love. They needed to understand the importance of God's love, especially in the context of our relationship with other people. Our relationships, everybody here is experiencing relationships, whether it's your marital relationship there in your family, mother, father, son, daughter. It varies all across this room. But relationships that we face as church members, relationships, it's very, very important that we give our whole heart and understanding that what Jesus is dealing with here goes beyond the surface. That was another tendency of obeying the law. The tendency was just to look pretty on the outside. They wanted to fit some, just as long as they fit the mold and had the externals all in order, the heart really didn't matter. And Jesus is always, mark it down, is always going for the heart. He wants your heart, brother, sister. He wants my heart. So please understand, it is important that we give attention to what Jesus is teaching here. I'm thankful that as he brings this idea up, you know, he's talking about how really we are to respond when we've been insulted, offended. And as we see in verse 38, Jesus brings up, ye have heard that it hath been said, and he says that a lot through his message, and he's given reference to the Old Testament. And he's not being critical of the Old Testament. He's just saying, these truths that I am teaching you, I'm telling you there's an element that you're missing. He says, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And what was happening in many times, the law, and it still happens today, 2,000 years later, what people will do is they'll take the Word of God and they will apply it out of context. And they'll apply it to what is most convenient for them. And that's always been an issue. So Jesus is correcting something here because what was meant in that context, and you can go back and read it there in Exodus, it's clearly stated, this truth here, Exodus 21:24, it's talking about there in society, civil law is where this was to be applied. It was not necessarily in the context of personal relationships. But the Pharisees and even those people of this age, they were starting to do it where they were saying, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And by the way, our civil law system, our judicial system, it is set up that way. We couldn't live this way by this. It would be impossible to live this specific way as a society. It'd be anarchy. Think about it. I mean, if we just every time said, oh, you stole that, or you committed some these crimes, oh, you're okay, just go ahead. And they continue doing that. But God has set forth some principles in Scripture, and I'm thankful to understand that there is a system of justice, and by the way, there is injustice, and that's why we should always pray as Christians that judges would judge righteously, and that's why we should pray for our civil courts and whatnot, that things would be done honestly and justly. But the fact of the matter is, it's set up that way. But when it comes to personal relationships, it's different in many ways. And that's what Jesus is going after. See, they had turned it in where, hey, if somebody offends me, it's on. You mess with me, I'll show you. Jesus is saying, no, not for the believer. Not for my children. It's different. It's not an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. In fact, he says in verse 39, this is what he explains. In verse 39, he says, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil. Wait a minute. Let's stop right there. What is Jesus saying? At surface, it's kind of like, wait a minute. Jesus is saying, don't resist evil? Well, I do believe that what he's talking about here is not the fact that we don't resist evil in the sense of resisting the devil, because we know the New Testament talks about that, right? We resist against evil in that particular way, attacks of Satan. But this is talking about personal grievances. It's talking about personal insults. When we experience that from someone around us, the idea is that we are not to attack them. And God's people should not have a habit of attacking people. Jesus knows that this is an inclination of the human heart, that we have a tendency to attack. Now, that's all right if you're fighting the devil and he's trying to harm you in the spiritual realm. And so Jesus is going here. No, he gives an illustration here, if you will. In fact, he gives about three solid illustrations. The first one he gives as someone would be, as he says here, he says, you about turning the cheek. We've all heard that, right? He says, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, okay, turn to him the other. So if I'm coming down here, Ben, and what they would consider this an insult, and it was, some of it was symbolic too, but what they would use is the back of the hand in this culture. And it was one of the just most humiliating insults, and it wouldn't be a punch, okay? Wouldn't even be with this face of the hand, it'd be the back of the hand, like that, hit the right side of their face, okay? It was a complete insult. Now, again, it wasn't to necessarily to cause a ton of harm, it was just a smack in the face, but it was so humiliating. And so they use that even when someone does something of that nature that just really is humiliating to you. That's what Jesus is talking about. Now, let me be clear here. There's been a lot of misteachings and misinterpretations of this passage. Some that saying that this is in the realm of even protecting yourself physically and not responding when you feel like you're in danger. Let me be very clear. The Bible is very much pro-self-defense. It is pro-self-defense. If you're in danger, the Bible gives liberty to defend yourself. And the Bible also gives you liberty. Not only liberty, it gives you the responsibility to protect your family if your family is in danger. That's not the context that Jesus is talking about. He's talking about interpersonal relationships. When you get insulted, how are you responding? Are you saying, okay, You're going to treat me that way, talk to me that way, insult me that way? Let me tell you something. I'll tell you right now. That's the spirit Jesus is dealing with. He's dealing with hatred. He's dealing with anger. He's saying, look, somebody insults you, turn the other cheek. He's not in any way promoting people just being abused. Absolutely not. That's ridiculous. That's not what our Lord is talking about. But He is talking about those Christians, those believers are His that are filled with anger and they're always on the attack. Jesus said, you turn the other cheek. Don't resist evil. That means don't go into fight mode. All right, bring it on. He said, don't do that. This is revolutionary to these people. This is like, wait, what? What is he talking about? What is Jesus talking about? He's talking about, listen, your relationships with each other, you disciples, the people that you will commune with, even the Roman government, as we'll see here in just a moment. He's like, how are you responding to them? He talks about if somebody slaps you. He's going to talk about if somebody sues you. He's going to talk about if somebody slights you. And then he's going to talk about if someone solicits you. He's going to talk about those categories on how a Christian should respond. And it's important. But we understand evil should be resisted at times. Jesus is not saying that it shouldn't be resisted. And we have to understand that balance. And by the way, I'm thankful, again, as I said before, the government does not follow this guideline. The judicial system, there has to be consequences. There has to be justice. People can be loved and forgiven on a personal level and can also be turned over to the authorities. That can be a form of love, ladies and gentlemen. And say it'd be easy. But what I believe Jesus is dealing with, and he always felt like, I feel like that was what he was always doing. I believe that Jesus is going for the motive of the heart in these areas. What is the motive of my heart and my responsibility in these situations where I might be insulted? You know, it comes back also, and I want to tell you the core of this comes back to our theme. In Him will I trust. Because in order for me to respond in the way Jesus is telling me to respond for interpersonal relationships and to those around me where I've been insulted or humiliated in some way or some form, and the way I respond here, I have to trust the Lord to help me. I have to trust the Lord to fight for me. I have to trust the Lord to speak for me. I have to trust the Lord when He talks about in Romans chapter 12, by the way, when He says, look, vengeance is mine. So the Lord says, I will repay. I'll take care of that injustice on those interpersonal relationships and those situations where we experience those types of things. God's gonna take care of that. And again, He's not suggesting here that if a crime's been committed and something like that, that we should not turn it over to the authorities. We should. It's an act of love because in essence, when you do that, you're gonna protect other people from being harmed. I think about a few weeks ago, our neighborhood was hit by thieves, and they went down the street and a couple of vehicles, you know, most of the vehicles that were hit were of course unlocked, and one of them being mine. but I didn't have anything in there for them to get. They may have found some Cheetos down the cracks of the seat, but other than that, ladies and gentlemen, they didn't find much there. But nevertheless, they did get some houses down the road, and there was some money stolen, a gun stolen, different things like that. But let's just use our imagination here. Let's go Hollywood on this. We'll go rated G though, Hollywood here. And let's imagine that if that guy out there breaking in my truck, I happen to get a signal and happen to catch an alarm on there, and boy, and then I see him, and then I my yellow lab Gracie, I sit Gracie on him, And Gracie jumps over there, and you all know Gracie. No, that's not true, okay? But Gracie gets on it, tackle him to the ground, tie him up, you know, we got this guy, and he's, now, you know, this does not apply. I still need to love that person. Jesus died for that person. But I'm going to, after I do all that, that person may be begging for mercy. Let me go. I will never do it again. I say, I hope you don't, and I love you, but I'm calling the police. Okay? Understand the context here. It's not, don't abuse this passage. Some people do. And we have to understand, but it does deal with a lot where you're at right now. Husband and wife, parent and child, your boss at work, a mom or dad, some of you young people here, in your relationship with your parents. We have to be guarded, don't we? He says, not only when someone insults you in that way, from like smacking you in the face, that kind of insult, but notice the next one he approaches here. He says, and if any man will sue thee at the law, okay, there's been a situation where someone's taken you to court. And here where he uses the context, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Now they had several layers of garments in that day, much like we do, an undershirt and then just maybe a regular t-shirt or outside shirt. And then they had a coat that would, of course, keep them warm, that outer garment. And Jesus is saying, look, if someone takes you to court and you end up losing, go the extra mile with them in this sense. And again, this is probably in the context of some property, suing over some property being taken of whatnot. And the idea is that the people are trying to take them for their money. And the idea here, what Jesus is teaching, is that even if that were to take place, he says, show love. Perhaps even do something in a tangible way. And again, this is Jesus speaking, using sort of a metaphor here. But he's saying, even in the context of that, show love. Doesn't mean what they're doing is just. You don't have to agree with it. You could stand against it. Obviously they were. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus says in some tangible way, show that you're a God-fearing person that has the love of God within them. This does not come naturally. We have to trust God to work on our behalf in these situations. Because one of the things I obviously see about this is the way that we show love is seeking to produce love. You see, you can never win hatred with hatred. But many people fight hatred with hatred. But my friend, the only way hateful people will be won to God is through the love of God. That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, be not overcome with evil, but overcome, win evil with good. Win evil to good, to that which is love. And it's only going to come as love flows, but it's not going to come naturally. I'm telling you right now, if it's going to happen, it's going to come because I'm trusting God's almighty, omnipotent power to work through this situation in the only way He can. I'm relinquishing some control in the matter, saying, God, You know where I am. You know who I am. You know what I'm trying to do. God, I'm just going to trust You to help me to show the love of God. Doesn't mean you're abused. Doesn't mean you'd be used. That's not what Jesus is suggesting here. But it does mean that you go the extra mile with the love. You see, the first mile, as we're going to look here, let's look at the third one. And he says in 41, and whoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. So whoever goes, it says, whoever shall compel thee to go 1 mile, go with him too, Jesus said. Now, you probably have heard the context of this. But in this day where Jesus was living, who was the authority? Rome. The Roman military. And it was Roman law that they could compel any citizen there, the military guys, they could compel any citizen, they really preyed on the, targeted the Jews, to carry either their backpack, their military backpack, or even their weapon, and carry it for them a mile, anywhere. It is said from tradition that there are places where little Jewish boys would have a mile marked out exactly from their house, because again, Roman soldiers would just come up and like Thomas or Cooper here and say, "Hey, son, carry this." And a lot of times they did it in a mocking way, in a humiliating way. And it said those boys had it measured out. They had little markers from their house to where the Roman soldiers would go, where they could just hand over that armor or that backpack, that burden. They could just stop it. They knew where it was coming. And a lot of times, and get this, this is where Jesus is hitting. He's hitting resentment. He's hitting bitterness. He's hitting hatred, because those people, and you can understand, they got really resentful. "All right, I don't even want to, you don't want any scene out there, because here he comes again. He's going to get one of us." It's humiliating. "Here, carry this." And Jesus saying, "All right, if they get you to carry it 1 mile," Jesus says, "Take it too." Wait a minute, Jesus. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the first mile is law. The second mile is love. That doesn't make sense to an unbeliever, but it can win them. See, we got a lot of Christians that are dreading and drudgery that first mile. And then they stop there and they're miserable. But Jesus saying, "Look, not only just go the first mile, yeah, that's a duty, but take it another level. Take it another level with love. Go that second mile," he said, and see how those Roman soldiers respond. When people see God's people go the second mile in life with them, whatever the case may be, and showing the love, and showing humility, showing forgiveness, showing kindness, showing servanthood, when we go that second mile, brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to tell you right now, it will glorify God. Because that doesn't come naturally. The first one's law, I have to. The second one's I get to. I get to do this for the glory of God because my Jesus told me to do it. I get to do it because the one who died for me told me to do it. My motivation is Jesus. My motivation is the love of Jesus. Going that second mile. There's great blessings in that second mile. I like what Adrian Rogers said. He called it the power of the miracle mile. He said the first mile is drudgery. The second is victory. He says it changes your attitude totally on how you look at it, going from having to wanting to. And he said this, in the first mile, you're required to go that far. You are a victim. In the second mile, you are the victor. The first mile makes you bitter. The second mile gives you joy. Are you a second mile Christian? I believe we need a revival in second mile Christianity. God delivered us from doing the bare minimum in our walk with God. God save us from being a people who just try to do as little as we can to meet that standard and get by, instead of going the extra mile over and beyond in what God's called us to do so that we can bring glory to the Lord. Taking that position of a servant. I was reading in Matthew, you were too. Those disciples were always fighting over who's going to be the greatest. Did you read that? Remember, just they were always fighting about that. Jesus had to correct them on that. He says, look, you want to be the greatest, it's going to be who's going to be the servant among you. Going the extra mile. Then notice with me that next illustration he gives. He says, give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Now, obviously, this is not necessarily just talking about only money. Jesus is going after something when someone comes in need. And he's not suggesting that there are times that you shouldn't turn someone away. Again, that's taking it out of context. What he's saying here is that all needs that are presented to us from someone that's coming and asking of us or someone who's in need, we should always consider it with love. We should always consider it with love, and then we should always give it with love when it's appropriate. We understand that things need to be considered, but here many times there was an idea of just greediness and only giving when at the, what the law says. I can only give this much, and once I give that, I'm done. I'm not giving anything. But what about that person that's hungry or in a tough place in life, would have lost their job, or somebody that's just got a debt that needs that they can't get and they just need a little more help? There's various things going on, but people in general that probably maybe need some groceries. Maybe they need some help around the house. Maybe they need some clothes. Maybe they need some things. I don't know what the case may be. But how about God's people get a renewal and being second mile Christians and trying to help some people out? And not just being bare minimum. Well, when Christmas time comes around. But just always be looking for someone to be an encouragement to. Be a blessing to. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. So you understand here that many have said clearly that when we are talking about doing these things, it is always motivated by love. If you're taking notes, can I share with you five blessings of responding in love to insults? Can you write these down? Five blessings of responding in love when you have been offended, when you have been taken advantage of, when you've been hurt in some way. I want to tell you, first of all, you're going to be twice blessed, because you're going to be blessed by the one who is giving your love, and you're going to bless the one that's receiving the love. It's a twice blessed procedure. Number one, the blessing is, it's freedom from the bondage of anger. Freedom from the bondage of anger. When you go the second mile, brethren, it's going to help you overcome a spirit of anger. I wonder how many people out here today struggle with a spirit of anger. Do you soul up when someone does something to offend you and you don't talk? Or do you explode when someone does something you don't like? Are you easily irritated? Find it hard to forgive? I want to tell you, person, I'm speaking from experience, dear brother, dear sister. That means you're an angry person. You have an angry spirit. And you can overcome that by the love of God. By going the second mile to bless those that have offended us, and pour the love of God on them in some tangible way, if possible. Freedom from the bondage of anger. Wouldn't you say that's a blessing? Amen. Number two, you have the steadfast abiding presence of God. The steadfast abiding presence of God. Hey, listen, as someone has well said, you'll find no traffic jams on the second mile. But I want to tell you what you will find there. The presence of God. The power of God. That's what you'll find on that second mile. The power of God. That first mile, yeah, He's there too. Thank God for that. But boy, that second mile, there's something special about that second mile. That's a blessing from the Lord. Young people, go the second mile in your home. of loving your siblings, of helping with chores, encouraging mom and dad, not arguing, not shouting at each other. Go the second mile here at church. Go the second mile in being here, all of us, being present, being faithful wherever God has called us, just seeking to serve those, even in our workplace. As a preacher, I was convicted about this as I was studying. I said, you know, we think about preachers, we're always thinking about having the power of God for preaching, which I do want. But I said, God reminded me, He said, son, you need the power of God for serving. Getting down low, and whether it's menial task or whatever it may be, a lot of times we're always talking about the power of God to do these big spectacular things, and they're good things. Maybe it's witnessing. Maybe it's prayer. Those things are important. But what about God's people just being humble and serving those by going the extra mile, even when it comes to being humiliated? What about that? We got to be there, brethren. You say, not me. Well, we just need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? He was as a lamb, sheep before her shears. And He opened not His mouth. He was practicing what He's teaching to these disciples. Second mile Christianity. It's going over and beyond out of a heart of love, not of a duty. And it's a blessing. Thirdly, it's the deliverance from descending to the level of the wrongdoer. If you're not careful, brethren, you'll let the evildoers convert you. You'll end up scooping down to their level of being wrathful or just cruel, just mean. Perhaps insulting you when we don't go the second mile, we end up scooping down to that level. And praise God, when we go to the second mile, we avoid that. Isn't that a blessing? That's a blessing. That's a blessing from God. You are delivered from descending in the sense to the level of the wrongdoer. And bear with me here. Number four, it goes back to one of my points, but it's remaining in fellowship with the Lord. See, a lot of us, so many times, we're like that little Jewish boy or even Jewish adult. And you know they didn't walk beside those Roman soldiers. I'm sure they were made, you walk in front of me or you can walk behind me. But I'm sure many times you can imagine, when I get to this point, I'm done. Forget this. Maybe they were a tidbit cordial so they didn't get hurt or something. I don't know how it transpired. But I just know that I as I look at my own heart, brethren, as I look at my own heart, I am that way many times. I'll go right here. Not going any further. Church, can we repent of that? I mean, even here this morning, I'm sure the Holy Spirit is just speaking to all of us about this. Second mile Christianity. Turning the cheek. Not being abused. That's not what He's teaching. He's talking about just how we deal with insults, offenses, when things aren't going our way. How are we responding? The Lord's going to use that in your life. He's going to use it in my life. And the last point is the blessing of responding in love is overcoming and not being overcome. I'll say that again. The blessing is overcoming instead of being overcome. That's God's will. So, I know some people are thinking here, because I was the same way as I was reading. I was like, Lord, I feel like Peter. You know, Peter was talking about forgiveness. Peter was like, seven times, you know, we forgive, you know. And Lord said, well, Peter, it's 70 times 7. He was teaching you something there. But in my opinion, maybe some of you have already thought about this. Okay, what areas does this not apply? You're thinking of the breadth of the situation. Okay, where does all these truths apply? But if you try to focus too much on that, let me tell you something you're going to miss. It's subtle. Don't do it. This is what we got to focus on. Let's focus on the depth of the truth. Because if you focus on trying to think of all these scenarios, where does it apply, where does it don't apply, you're missing it. The depth of your love. God the Holy Spirit will give you wisdom. He will give you insight. Because there, no doubt, you understand, I don't have time to go into all this, but there is a time where you show love to people by giving consequences. I'll share this example with you just because it's very personal. I don't remember my dad ever drinking. He would, later on in life, he would, you know, drink some non-alcoholic thing or thing, but I never saw him drink. I don't remember him drinking. I'm thankful for that. But there was a time when I was 4 years old that my dad was an alcoholic and he was drinking, and maybe sometimes he was a functional alcoholic. He was still going to work, but still things were a mess at home. My mom was at the end of herself. My brother and sister, Michael and Michelle, they were 7 years older than I. My mom, they'd only been married they were married in 1979, so they'd only been married about 3 or 4 years. And my mom said, Brent, I'm taking Brinson and Michael and Michelle, and we're leaving you. And you'd say, so unloving. No. My mom loved my dad. But she also loved her two sons and her daughter. And she knew, as tough as this would be, she loved my dad. She knew that this would be perhaps one thing that would turn his heart. And it did. My dad, months later, went and got saved, got born again. And my mom stayed with my dad, and of course, until he passed away in 2009. I say all that to say this. We understand what Jesus is saying. He's not saying here that we should be unrealistic and unreasonable. He's saying that we should strive to do everything we can to do all in love. Nothing with retaliation. Nothing with resentment. Nothing with hatred. Nothing with bitterness. All with His love. Even if it means losing someone. You do it with love. The right motive, God will use it. So let's be second mile Christians. Let's go out here and make a difference in this local church with each other, in our homes, in our community. Let's go the extra mile. If you want to do that, let's say amen. Let's pray.